My guest today is Margaret McGee. She's an author, poet, labyrinth presenter, and builder who led a team at her church, St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Port Townsend, Washington, in the installation of their courtyard medieval Chartres-style labyrinth. Thank you, Margaret, for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be with you, Christiana.
And how's the weather up there? Same as here? Drizzling?
Well, it's not actually drizzling right now. It is overcast, but it's not a bad day given what time of year it is.
Yeah, you do get that constantly here on the Pacific West Coast. But it's beautiful. We have all the lilacs are out, and I'm just amazed. The Scotch broom. It's so much earlier than I'm used to back on from the east.
Our native rhododendron are just starting to come out, and that's early here too. So the pink blossoms are breaking open. I wish it were a little bit warmer, but it's still my favorite time of year because it is so beautiful. Everything comes into bloom just in the next few weeks.
Yeah, me too. So let's get right into it here. When you wrote me, you said that you are an author, books on the spiritual path, and a maker and lover of labyrinths for many years. You said the labyrinth in your backyard is built directly over your septic tank, which seems to me, and this is, I quote you, which seems to me like a great metaphor for the experience of walking a labyrinth. What we might see as waste material is being processed into rich compost just beneath the surface. That's such a poet who would think of that. And I thought that was great. And so I was just wondering, when people come to your house and find out where the labyrinth is sited and walk the labyrinth, what are their reactions?
Well, people are very strongly drawn to it. As soon as they see it, it's often a surprise for them because our home is situated in a woods a little ways off the lane that we live in, and the labyrinth is not visible from the road or from the approach to the house. So when I take people around the house, or sometimes they don't see it until they're actually in our house and they glimpse it through a window, they're just immediately drawn to it, especially children. It just looks like a playground to them, and they pour out there and make up games immediately, running up and down through the paths. The labyrinth is visible from our guest room window, and I think that just creates a peaceful, restful atmosphere for people who come and stay with us. A couple months ago, a friend of mine who had never walked a labyrinth before came on a visit. And as everyone, she saw it and was curious about it. And so I took her out there and explained about the single path in and out. And we walked it together. I walked ahead and she followed me, and we just walked it in silence, came to the center, spent a few moments there, and then walked out. And after we came out, she just looked at me, and her face was glowing. She said, "That was wonderful. That was amazing." She said she had been having a problem with a coworker in her job, and standing in the center, it was as though she suddenly saw a way to open up in that relationship, to be more forthcoming herself. And it made her feel that new possibilities had opened up. It was as though a door had opened for her in this problem relationship. And of course, I was just like, wow, that's great. I was thrilled to introduce her to the labyrinth and to have her have that experience on her first walk.
No, you know, it we know people, those of us who've walked it and used Lazarus for years and years, we have a gazillion stories like that, but it always is so impactful when you hear it again, and it's the first time somebody walks, the first or second time, and they had these kinds of experience, and then you know, that this really is possible, that this labyrinth energy and the grid, it works. It really works.
Yes, that's right.
Well, we wanted to talk about the team aspect of the labyrinth building process.
Yes.
In a church setting, which you're very involved in. So let's start with some background first. Tell us a bit about your church and how the idea for a labyrinth on the grounds came up.
Well, St. Paul's in Port Townsend is a historic church. It's one of the oldest Episcopal parishes in Washington State. And the building is a historic building. It was built in 1865, and it seems to me I've heard that it's the oldest Episcopal church building in Washington State that's been in continuous use as a church. It's a beautiful little building, and what happened was that the parish, we also had an old parish hall, but it no longer served the needs of the community, and it couldn't really be refurbished to serve the needs of the community. So we sold that building, actually, and it was moved about a block away, and we built a new parish hall. And that created kind of new spaces between the buildings. So there was much talk about what to do with those new spaces, and some people wanted to put a labyrinth in the space between the new parish hall and the church. Our rector at the time, whose name was Gail Helgeson, favored the project. And, people have to talk about these things for a while, especially when it's an organization doing it. It doesn't work very well, I don't think, to just impose something like this on an organization. So anyway, she arranged for a local woman who does labyrinth workshops to come to St. Paul's and do a workshop that drew the labyrinth on the ground in the space just in white flour, in wheat flour. So it was a very temporary one, but it enabled people to see it. That was back in the spring of 2003. And I took part in that workshop and just found it, once it was there, it really makes a difference to be able to see it in place. Once it was there, then I could picture it and as a courtyard, I could see how the space could work as a courtyard. So then I agreed to form and lead the kind of core group that would carry the project forward. That group was formed in the summer of 2003 with the purpose to write a proposal to, you know, figure out what we were going to do and write a detailed proposal for the parish's vestry or board, because they'd have to approve the project. So that's how it got started.
During this team process and you know, issues come up, I know I've been on lots of teams, how did you create camaraderie and resolve conflict? What were some of the things that you did to keep everybody going and on track and maintain a win-win situation? Because that's always what you're looking for, I think, and especially in this.
Yes, and it is a challenge, and it happened to be kind of a special challenge for us because completely unrelated to the labyrinth project, it happened that the parish went through a period of time of political conflict, internal conflict over other issues during the same time we were planning the labyrinth. And there were people in that core group who were not on the same side of the other things. So there was potential for, you know, sort of spillover conflict. I think, to me, one of the most important things that we did was the way we started every meeting. Some of the other members of the group and I sort of collected a series of short verses from the Bible that have to do with creation and have to do with the path. We have about, oh, I guess about 15 of them. And we would start every meeting by just reading these verses around the circle of the group. For example, the first one is from Psalm 74. And, of course, the Psalms are prayers, so this is addressed addressed to God. And the verses that we used go like this. Yours is the day, yours also the night. You established the luminaries and the sun. You have fixed all the bounds of the earth. You made summer and winter. And then the next person in the circle would read the next verse, which would, again, have to do with either creation or the path. And I think that helped center us and helped, I mean, to me, one of the things that it means to be made in the image of God is that you have a spark of the creative spirit in you. So we were like joining with the Creator to make something beautiful, not only for ourselves, in part for ourselves, but also for the whole community. You're offering it to the community. And I think that reminder, time and time again, helped center us, helped us say, the important thing we're doing here is this project, and helps keep all of the other stuff out of the room, which was very important.
So let's start with you, Roberta. Do you have a question or a thought or anything you would like to add to our discussion?
Well, I just wanted to thank Margaret. I've been listening, and this story has been quite inspiring to me, particularly in the aspect of a community that perhaps is at odds with one another, coming together and doing something physical that has somehow brought this sense of healing to the community. And I was wondering if Margaret could speak to the aspect of this being something of a pilgrimage, either as individuals or as a community doing this during this process.
Oh, wow. Yes, I think that's a great comparison. I've heard a pilgrimage described as an outer physical journey that is related to the inner spiritual journey, or maybe an outer journey that sets an inner journey in motion, helps set us on a new path. And I think that's exactly what happened in the parish during the course of time of making this labyrinth. It's almost like we joined together to actually build a new path. Mm. And the labyrinth became a place that we could come together. But in doing it, you know, I think we become so disembodied. It's like our minds and our spirits are something separate from our bodies. And when you come together and build something physically, then that engages both the body and the spirit, which I think is exactly what pilgrimage is historically has done for spiritual seekers.